Matthew 25 and verse 1, the Bible said, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took their oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept." Now, notice your Bible said they all slumbered and slept. A-L-L means all, don't it? "And at midnight there was a cry made, 'Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him.' And then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, 'Give us of your oil and our lamps, for our lamps are gone out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves.' And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered and said, 'Verily I say unto you, I know you not. What's therefore? For you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh.'" Now look back in Matthew 24 and look in verse 36. "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." You may be seated tonight. Heavenly Father, we come to you. We thank you for this wonderful day that you've given us. We thank you for these that have come to your house tonight. We pray that the songs that have sung have uplifted you and brought glory and honor. That's all we wanted tonight, was for you to have the honor of these songs and to praise you. And Lord, we're very thankful that you hold tomorrow. No matter what happens today, no matter what happens tomorrow, we understand that you're still on the throne and you're still in control, and we thank you for that. Lord, but it's come preaching time now, and we pray that you'd touch us and anoint us afresh. Give us an unction from the Holy One tonight, for we certainly and that needs you. And we pray that if there's one here lost, that they'd get saved. And Lord, that you just speak to their heart, and that you would prepare it and that for salvation, and that they would move and come and trust you. For the one tonight that needs help, I pray that help will be found in you, and we'll give you the glory for it all tonight. Thanking you for Calvary and for what it means to us that Jesus died there, and it's in his name that we do ask these things. Amen and amen. As we look in both of these passages tonight, you have to understand that Matthew chapter 24 deals and that with the time of the great tribulation. And the passage that I read in that, where it talks about, "But of the day and hour knoweth no man, I know not the angels of heaven, but my Father only," and deals and talks about the days of Noah. And then we go over in chapter 25. It's talking about the time after the great tribulation period. Now, we're talking about a literal time. You have to understand that there is a literal interpretation of Scripture. There is a spiritual interpretation of Scripture, then the prophetical interpretation. And so we find that there is a prophecy that's going to take place that the Lord Jesus is coming back. It talks about the kingdom of heaven right here. And listen, that's talking about the time when he comes and sets himself up as King of kings and Lord of lords. You realize that tonight, according to Revelation chapter 19, when he comes, him that is called faithful and true, that friend, he is going to reign on this very earth, and that for 1,000 years. The Bible talks in Matthew, or in the book of Luke, chapter 1, when that angel come over there, when Gabriel come to Mary, and she, and he said this, "And he shall be great," talking about Jesus, "and shall set upon his father David's throne." Listen, he has yet to do that. David had a literal throne. He had a literal kingdom. And one day, after a while, Jesus Christ the righteous is going to sit on that very throne and rule this very earth. Amen. And what a day that's going to be. And that's what he's talking about right here. He is actually dealing with the nation of Israel in these passages of Scripture. That's who he's dealing with. That's the literal interpretation and the prophetical interpretation that Jesus is coming. But we look at it tonight in a spiritual interpretation, if I could, that we see that we know that Christ is coming. And if we know that Christ is coming, then you need to be prepared for his coming tonight. And that's what I want to preach tonight, having a thought of what to do before it's too late. As we read in these passages of Scripture, we find that as it deals with the five wise and the five foolish virgins, it deals with those people that was there in the days of Noah in Genesis 6 and Genesis 7. There come a time when it was too late. We live in a society where nothing is too late, it seems. We can always back up. We can always undo. But I'm going to tell you, friend, there is times that it's just too late. You know that when a man or a woman dies, friend, it's too late. And that to get right with God if they're not right with God. I remember that we had some folk here in the church one time. And I remember this lady's brother died. And he had been wicked all his life. I mean, she would tell you that he had lived wicked. His brother-in-law would tell you that he had lived wicked. And I remember going to the funeral home. And I remember a lady catching me on the way in. He's a friend of the family. And says, "What do you tell them in a situation like that?" And I know what she was looking for. She was wanting me to say that hopefully at the end of his life, he come to a place to where he trusted Jesus. Now I'll say this, if God grants you mercy and lets you trust him at the end of your life, you can get saved, amen. But I don't think I would wait to the end of things in hopes that I would have enough time to get saved before I left out of here. A lot of people think that, well, I can live how I want to. I'll get there in a minute. I can live like I want to. And if I get down and if I get sick or if I see death sneaking up on me, I'll get saved. I can get ready. Hey, I'm going to tell you, death don't sneak up on everybody, friend. It shows up sometimes just like that. Folk fall dead with a heart attack. They're living now and then they're dead. Listen, you better be prepared and that to meet the Lord tonight. Listen, can I say quickly that in this spiritual interpretation of looking at that these virgins that were ready and some that were not ready, there is folk today that believe that they're okay and believe that they're ready when they truly are not ready to meet him. Having your name on a church roll, being a good person, listen, doing good works, all those things are great. But friend, not one of them can get you into heaven. You must have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That is a Baptist doctrine, by the way, but it's a Baptist doctrine because it's a Bible doctrine tonight. Listen, if you're going to get to heaven, it's not a Baptist way. It's not some other way. It's a Bible way that Christ came and died for us so that we might be saved. Amen. John 14 and 6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." But he's coming again, ain't he? Is he not coming for the church tonight? What was it in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verses 13 through 18? 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verses 51 through 57. He tells us that he's coming. He said, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the last trump of God, we shall all be changed." But he's talking to saved people. You see, take your Bible and go to the book of 2 Peter chapter 3. I'm still in my introduction, by the way. We'll get there in a minute. 2 Peter chapter 3 and look in verse 3. "Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. He said, look, he said, in the end days people are going to scoff at the idea of the second coming. People are going to scoff at the idea of Jesus coming again. They're going to scoff at the idea of where is the promise of His coming. Everything is the same as it's always been. And that's not true, friend. And even Peter answers that question. He said, this they're willingly ignorant of. He said, there was a time when the heavens were of old and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world then was being overflowed with water, perished. And I believe that was Noah's flood. Hey, listen, after the flood of Noah, it flooded the whole earth. And listen, things changed when God flooded the earth. But he said, they said, where is the promise of His coming? There's people saying that today, and I don't understand that. I've never understood that because, listen, funeral homes are running rampant today. I mean, you're going to leave out of here one day. You're going to meet God one day. You're going to meet your Maker, and you need to understand that, but there's coming a time when it's too late. The book of Jeremiah chapter 8 said, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. It's too late. A few things tonight looking about what to do before it's too late. Number one, I want you to see there was the knowledge of His coming. They knew. A lot of people don't like to know, but I got a feeling that most people know He's coming. The Bible said right here, they knew that the bridegroom was coming. It said, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. They understood that the bridegroom was coming. This was the party for the bride. If you'd let me say that, listen, that bridegroom would come. He would make his declaration and that for his bride. And then he would leave her there and go back and get things ready at home. And the idea is he gets his house ready and gets his things in order and gets things ready to go. There was going to come a day when the bridegroom was going to show up for his bride. Do you realize there's coming a day when the bridegroom is going to show up for his bride? He said, what was it that he said? He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And he said, if I go away, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Listen, Jesus has went away and had to prepare us a place. And there's coming a day when He's coming to get us. But we find right here, we find that these virgins, they knew there was a day when the bridegroom was going to come. It's just like in the days of Noah. They knew that the flood, I mean, here he stands out here and he's building this ark and for over 100 years, and the Bible said in the book, was it in the book of 1 Peter? I believe it was, and it calls him, Noah, 2 Peter, it calls him a preacher of righteousness. 2 Peter chapter 2, inspire not the old world, but save Noah, the 8th person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Noah stood out there day in and day out and preach to them, it's going to rain. Get on the boat. Listen, they knew the bridegroom was coming. You're sitting here tonight, and if you're lost, I don't know your heart tonight. But I'm telling you, Jesus is coming again. Friend, and you need to get ready. You need to make preparation and that to meet Him, because friend, I'm telling you, when He comes, it's too late. It's like shutting your eyes in death. It's too late. There's millions and millions of people burning in the devil's hell today, wanting one more chance and thought that they would have another opportunity, but there came a day when it was too late. When it's too late, it's too late. You ever missed anything? You ever just missed anything? I mean, said, I believe it's tomorrow. And then come to find out it's not tomorrow, it's today. And by the time you realized it wasn't tomorrow, today had done passed and you had done missed it. You know what? You can't back up and undo what you missed. If somebody comes in here tonight, when I get done preaching and we say the last prayer and say amen and get ready to go and I shake hands and they're walking in the door and say, well, I thought you were going to start at such and such time. Listen, you know what? We could come back, sit down, have a meeting again, but it's not this meeting. Why? It's done too late. Some people know that he's coming and they know that they need to get right, but yet they don't do it. They knew it was going to rain, or let me say this, at least Noah told them it was going to rain. They may not have believed it. They may have scoffed at the idea, and I have no doubt that they scoffed at the idea that some of them did, and they scoffed at the idea of the bridegroom coming, but they had a knowledge of his coming. Can I say tonight, church, that it is just like our time as it was in Noah's time that we're to be warning that Jesus is coming again. Colossians chapter 1 is just talking about Jesus Christ. Hey, Paul said, whom we preach, warning every man. You know, when you have a warning, there is a danger there, ain't there? You say, well, he's loving and he's caring and he's compassionate, and Jesus Christ is all those things tonight. But listen, I'm going to tell you, friend, when he comes again, the love and the compassion and all those things, the mercy has done been extended. It's done been given now. And friend, it'll be a time for justice and judgment. But it'll be too late. So you need to be right. Paul said, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Judgment's coming. Need to warn that judgment's coming. We do need to tell people that Jesus loves them, died for them. I mean, I believe that with all my heart, that Jesus loves sinners. I do. You'll never get me to change my mind. I've read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I've seen what he done. And that for sinners, I looked and seen, friend, how he had compassion on them, how he loved them, how he saved them, how he forgave them, how he healed them. But friend, I'm telling you, there's coming a day when that man's coming as judge. He's not coming as Savior. He's coming as judge. So they should have known, just like you should know, or you do know today. But then I want you to look, number two, they knew, but look in verse 5, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And that's what the word slumber means. It simply means to sleep or to doze, but it also means to be in a state of negligence. And as he deals with this in the literal interpretation, dealing with the nation of Israel, they all slumbered. Israel was far, far away from God in this passage of Scripture as a whole. Listen tonight, I've got a feeling that as the church, as he is tarrying tonight, and I understand that word tarrying means to delay, and it seems like that he's delayed. Listen tonight, I want you to understand something. If he has delayed, then he's delayed on purpose. You know, he that will come shall come and will not tarry, the Bible said in the book of Hebrews. And I understand that. But listen, as in 2 Peter chapter 3, when it talked about over there, the scoffers, it said, where is the promise of his coming? You know that if you come down to chapter, or in the same chapter, and come down to verse 9, that the Bible said, but the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Why has he been slack? Why has he waited in his coming so that folk would repent? He's not come because he wants folk to repent and get saved. There's an old song out there, and I'm really not sure how scriptural it is, but it says, wait a little longer, sweet Jesus, there's so many wandering out in sin. But there was a slumbering. Can I tell you, I believe tonight that if we're not careful, there is a slumbering in the church. Notice he said they all slumbered. The five foolish and the five wise both slumbered. Those that had oil for their lamps was his representation. And that of the Holy Spirit. Listen, if you go back, you'll find that the oil and the Holy Spirit tie together. But listen, tonight the church seems in that to be lulled to sleep. We seem to be slumbering about our business tonight, knowing that the bridegroom is coming. What are we doing? Romans chapter 13 said, in that, knowing the time. Do we know the time? He said, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Hey, listen, whenever you believed and got saved, your salvation is closer now than it was then. Listen, what's that mean? Jesus is closer to coming. That's what it means, friend. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. He's saying, if you're going to do something for the Lord, you better do it now, because we're running out of time. The five wise slumbered. I don't want to be slumbering about the work of God tonight. I want to be busy. But they all slumbered, the Bible said. You know, one thing about Noah, he never slumbered, did he? He built that ark and kept on working and working to build that ark. But you know what happened? They all slumbered while he was tarrying to come. You know, in the days of Noah, Noah preached for over 100 years that the flood was coming. Need to get on the boat. Seems like when those animals come to get on that boat, and that's always amazed me how he got them on that boat. I don't know if he went out there and whistled and they all just took off. I don't know. That would have been an amazing sight to see, to get two of a kind that was unclean and seven that was clean. Now see, most people just see them as male and female and they've got two pair. But listen, if you go back and read, he also put seven on there of the clean. So he's got two of the unclean, but then he's got seven of the clean, you know. And by the way, let me park here and talk about that for just a second. That was prior to the law, and there was clean and unclean animals at that time. Give you something to think about. You know, he wanted Israel to eat clean. Amen. Some of you are looking at me tonight. I like sausage just like you do. Amen. Bacon, I love it. Fried, we just don't eat much of it. Amen. It's not good for you. We understand that tonight. See, listen, we wait for the doctors to tell us it ain't good for us, and the Lord was telling us that all the time. Amen. I love it, though. It's good. But listen, where was I? Hey, it was amazing. Seems like when they seen them animals getting on that boat, getting on that ark, that somebody would have scratched their head and say, something's going on. I mean, all you got to do is look around at the time and compare it to Scripture. This though also in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, posters, boasters, proud, blasphemers. And I mean, he lays it out there how the last days are going to be. But while there was a tarrying, while the bridegroom waited, there was a slumbering. You know, even after Noah preached all them years, got the animals on the ark, and God told him in Genesis 7:1, he said, come on, come into the ark, which tells me that God was already in the ark. He said, come into the ark. And he said, and yet in 7 days I'll cause it to rain. So even after he tells Noah to get on board the ark, he said, I'll give them 7 more days to get on this ark. I'll tarry and I'll wait. And so for whatever reason, nobody got on that boat except for Noah and his family. You know, folk think we're crazy. I would dare say that folk looked at Noah. He's just an old man building a boat. Got a crazy family. And I don't know who I'll help Noah up until. I don't know. I think about that stuff. But listen, it was just Noah and his family. There was just 8 people got on that boat. Because there come a day when God shut the door. The cry was made. The Bible said in verse 6, and at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him.
He's coming. I'm telling you, he's coming. But there's coming a day when the call's going to be made. He's here.
There was a day after Noah got on that boat. I ain't got everything settled. God got them settled in. I ain't got everything ready. There was a day when the heavens opened up. Hey, listen, man had never seen it rain before. God let the mist and that come up out of the earth and that to water the earth. But there was a day when the heavens opened up. The water that was up above the firmament, I just flooded down. The wells broke up. The deep broke up. And God shook this thing like a drunkard, friend. But by that time, the cry was being made, but you know what had happened? It was too late. See, if you look in verse 10, they wanted to get ready in verses 9 and 10, or verses 8, 9, and 10. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather out to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready, see there it is, they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Noah got on that ark, and I believe for 7 days, I believe this, I can't prove it, but I believe this, I believe for 7 days God left that door standing open. And on that seventh day, God reached down from heaven, and he shut that door. And it clinked shut. And as it shut and God sealed them in, he broke up the deeps and made it rain. The cry was made. But you see, Noah and his family was prepared. These five wise virgins were prepared. But see, there were those that were not prepared. See, I'm glad that I got prepared a long time ago. I think it was, we went to Miss Hicks's. What was it? Miss Sandy told you she got saved at 11 years old? Got saved at 11. She was 97, going to be 97. Is that right? Going to be 97? So from 11 to 97, she was prepared. And that preparation never changed. See, when you get saved, you've got prepared. I got prepared when I was 14 years old, ready for Jesus to come and made a difference in my life. I didn't get prepared because I changed something. I got prepared because he changed something. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. But see, there was those that were ready. They went in. But those that, see, they went into the marriage. And Noah went into the ark. But those that were not ready, they did not go in. Can I tell you, there's a cry being made today, and that for you to get ready. Jesus stood over there in the feast in the temple. And the Bible said in the last day of that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Matthew 11, he said, come unto me all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. You can get ready. You can get ready. Got to get ready to meet him. Listen, it takes coming now. It takes coming and bowing your knee now. You know, the Bible said, come and fall on that stone, and that stone would break you. You'd break on that stone, but if that stone falls on you that's been rejected and out by the builders, it would grind you to pieces. He's talking about judgment right there. So they were not ready. Well, see, the great thing about it is there is knowledge that he's coming, and there is knowledge that you're going to meet him one day. So you can get ready now. If he came today, if Jesus came today, if he called the church, would you leave out of here? I ain't talking about a Baptist church. I'm talking about the church, the body of Christ. Me being the pastor of this church does not get me saved. Being a member of this church does not get me saved. But me asking him to save me when I was 14 years old, that's what done it. That's what got me ready. God spoke to my heart one Sunday night and said, you're not ready. You're not saved. And I don't know if I'll ever forget that, because I tell you, I talked to some of them folk in the nursing home. They can't even hardly remember their name, but you get them talking about Jesus and they can tell you about when they got saved. That's what's amazing to me.
That's what's so amazing. And I don't know if I'll ever forget that in my whole life, but that is burned into my memory like I can't forget it. Has the devil bothered me over the years? Sure he has. But I've never forgot what Jesus done for me. If you've ever trusted Him, then He's come into your heart. The Bible said, as we've seen this morning, that thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's what it takes to get saved. You believe in the death, the burial, and the resurrection, knowing that you're lost, and come and ask Him to save you. And you know what He'll do? He'll save you. Preacher, is it really that simple? It's really that simple. Come as the faith as a little child, he said at one point. And you know, the night that I got saved, that's all I knew to do was just come and believe that He would. And can I tell you tonight, if you'll believe that He will tonight. Come and trust Him tonight. I hope that you're ready tonight. Can I tell you, it's not about baptism. It's not about being part of the church. It's not about good works. It's not about having a great family. It's not about those things. It's about being ready. It's about being saved, ready to meet Him. Are you ready tonight? Let's bow our heads tonight across the house, if we would. I hope you're ready tonight. Heather, I'm going to ask you to come to the piano tonight, if you would. Brother Jeff, if you'll come, let's get a verse of Just As I Am tonight. You know, that's how God wants you tonight, is just as you are. He don't want you any other way. He wants you tonight, just as you are. You can come and get saved if you've never been saved. You can get ready to meet Him. But you know, the five wise, they might have been slumbering, but they were ready. Listen tonight, don't be like the foolish and not be ready. Don't be like those in the days of Noah that missed the ark. Can I tell you that it was the ark that bore up the judgment of God that day when it began to rain? The rain, the water, was the judgment of God upon the earth that had forsook Him. And friend, if you'll get in Christ Jesus tonight and trust Him to be your Savior, you'll be ready. You'll be ready to leave out of this world. You'll be ready for the next one. But friend, I encourage you tonight and tell you that if you're not ready, then you're going to die lost without Jesus. It's been eternity to Christless hell. You need to get saved tonight. You don't have to wait till we begin to sing. You can move if God spoke to your heart. If He's knocked on your heart tonight, He said in Revelation 3:20, He said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice, I will open the door." He said, "I'll come in and sup with him, and he with me." How about it tonight? Are you ready? Are you ready? I found myself getting ready around an old-fashioned altar one Sunday night, coming begging a wonderful God in heaven. And be honest with you, although I grew up in church all my life, I really didn't know how to pray. I really didn't know what to do. But I knew that if I come and asked Him to save me, He'd do that. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to sing. And listen, if God has spoke to your heart, I want you to come tonight. If you realize you're not ready to meet Him, I want you to come tonight. Because He wants you to be ready. He died so that you could be ready, and rose again, friend, so that you could be ready to meet Him.